Hi, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation, and we hope he's having a wonderful time. I'm joined in the studio today by Mark B. Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com and Carolyn Cox, the chairman of the Pima County GOP. Wanted to let you know the podcasts of the show are available in several different places. You can go to BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonCitizen.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and there's also links to the show on the Green Valley News and the blog for Arizona. Wanted to thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it with us, and feel free to call in on our live line at 790-2040 or post questions to us on Facebook. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And Mark, hey. Good to see you.
Good seeing you. Good seeing you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
I wanted to kick off with something that I think is probably on everyone's mind, the Medicaid expansion in the state. It's passed the state Senate last week, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now it is the House's turn to take it up. And the governor was here in Tucson this week kind of rallying for it. Carolyn, what is the GOP, the local response that right. you're hearing?
Well, you know, if you look at the history of Medicaid and study the outcomes of people who are on Medicaid as opposed to people who have either private insurance or no insurance at all, it turns out that people on Medicaid actually have worse outcomes. And I don't see anything in this bill that would prompt doctors to take more Medicaid patients. I don't see that they are getting, you know, paid any more money, and that's part of the problem of why physicians don't like to take people on Medicaid. And I think it's a terrible mistake to expand the program, because when you go from 100% of poverty to 138%, what you're doing is you're getting people who already have a job, who have probably insurance through that job, and you are really kind of motivating them to drop the insurance coverage that they have and go onto Medicaid because they think of it as free. And it may be free, but it's not. It just doesn't have the same good outcomes. Dr. Jane Orient has studied this for many, many moons and can show you the exact figures of what happens. And there are so many, like specialty doctors, surgeons, and people like that. They just say it's so disappointing to get people from Medicaid coming in for help because they've waited too long, and it's, you know, usually their condition is you know, beyond help.
Isn't that part of the reason for getting more people into the system, getting people care earlier so they are more on the preventative side rather than having to wait till they're so sick that they show up in the emergency room?
Care from whom? See, this is the problem. We don't have enough doctors now to treat Medicaid patients. Where are the doctors going to come from? There's nothing in the bill that says, you know, private physicians will be reimbursed more than they are right now.
But there's $1.8 billion annually in the bill for the next 2 years. So it's almost a total of like $8 billion over 5 years. That would pay for a lot of doctors. That's a lot of extra money coming into the city that's coming, not coming from the state, that's coming from the federal government. So why be opposed to that kind of infusion of federal cash into the healthcare industry, which is begging for this expansion because they say that they're going broke providing for uncompensated care for people who are going to the emergency rooms who don't have health insurance?
Well, the perfect – one of the good solutions for something like that is what they did in Texas, which we tried to do here but couldn't get approved. And that was that if someone in Texas, if someone goes to the emergency room and is not admitted to the hospital, which is the assumption is that, you know, they've gone for a runny nose or something that should have been treated in a clinic, then they have to pay $50, and it is totally cut down on the number of people who have gone to the emergency room for non-emergent problems. We tried to do that in Arizona and submitted it to the HHS secretary, and she denied the option. So again, here's a chance where a market type system is being discounted. Dr. Lee Valeed has talked for a long time with various legislators, too, about the Voluntary Physicians Act, where the state would indemnify the doctors, they would pay their professional liability insurance, and in return, these doctors would give half a day each week for free for people who are truly indigent, because there's no question that we have to take care of the people who truly cannot afford anything and who do need help.
There are many, many, many people in the roles of the uninsured, I mean the number of uninsured who do have jobs, who are working full-time in jobs that either don't offer, maybe it's full-time, maybe it's two part-time jobs, but they're working adults, that their jobs don't offer benefits, or they're so expensive that there's no way in terms of paying for food, housing, right, everything else, that it's affordable.
Right. And see, one of the solutions would be, too, to make premiums deductible if an individual bought the policy, whereas now the corporation can take a deduction or your employer can, but you can't. So we're almost denying individuals the right to get some kind of a market-based system. The other thing is, if you go like with a catastrophic policy and a health savings account, those are inexpensive, and you know the young working people, that would be the way to go.
The county party, the GOP, you guys took a vote early in this session and said we oppose the Medicaid expansion.
We oppose the expansion, yes.
Right. So, but now the Speaker of the House, where this is at, he wants to punt it to the voters. Would the party consider that? Would they, if that's the way to compromise and get out of this dispute with the governor, would you support having it go to the voters?
Actually, I think it really should be decided by the legislature, because it is so complicated that it is so difficult to explain what really is entailed. And I think the legislators just need to step up and explain to their constituents. I mean, basically, we are being bribed with our own money, because the federal government has no money. They're in debt up to their eyeballs. And so it is essentially the taxes from the Arizona people that are being sent off to Washington and turned around and given back to us. And we have no promise that they will continue to do that. So if Governor Brewer is worried now about the 60,000 people that could be put off Medicaid, how on earth is she going to deal with, or any governor in the future, going to deal with 300,000 people having to be pushed off of Medicaid because we're not getting reimbursed from the federal government?
I wanted to bring up Governor Brewer's vetoed five bills, was it, yesterday?
Yeah, I read that.
And as a way to say, okay, I'm serious, let's go, let's talk about this. Well, is someone, you know, very involved in the GOP, she's a Republican, what do you think about that?
Well, she's trying to get her way on the Medicaid expansion. They've convinced her that this is the way to go. You and I both know that Medicaid is an HMO. And so the money is, first of all, going to go to the people who administer Medicaid. It's going to go to the hospitals. And, they're going to, just like all HMOs work, it's going to be to their benefit to deny and to delay services to people who need help.
I think when you said that, you know, we both know that, I think one area where we disagree is that, in my opinion anyway, it's that people need, if you have health care going in, you can prevent, and I think it's borne out in research, that you pay less later than you do if you give people access early on in the course of an illness. Mark, did you have another point you wanted to make about Medicaid?
Yes. Representative Ethan Orr in District 9,
yes.
Republican.
Yes.
His seatmate is a Democrat,
yes,
in that same district, and his senator is a Democrat in that district. So he's in a fairly politically balanced district. He's kind of hemmed and hawed and hedged on whether he's going to vote for the Medicaid expansion or not. If he does, what will be the response to the party if he runs for reelection next year, do you think?
Well, I think, I have spent a lot of time sending him all kinds of emails with information about why he doesn't want to vote for the expansion. And I don't know how his constituents will respond to him.
Is there someone that the party has in that area who, I mean, would he be facing a primary, I guess, is the question.
I would have no way at this point in time in knowing. We are not trying to round someone up, so I don't know. Someone could challenge him.
And the six senators so far who voted for it, some of them are claiming they're getting death threats and other hate mail. What do you make of that kind of vitriolic response for someone who's taking a principled stand, albeit one that might be different than the party faithful have expressed?
Well, I guess that's the kind of thing that often does go along in politics, and it's really quite sad that those kind of things happen. But I think you look for the facts and you try to understand what's going on. And I do not understand how, if we cannot have enough doctors who are willing to treat the Medicaid patients that we have now, how on earth we are going to get enough doctors to treat 300,000 more.
Going back for a moment to what Mark was saying about the reports of threats, and some
yes.
of them are sounded really quite serious.
I know
you're in a position where you're leading a large group of people. How do you, from an organizational standpoint, get the message out, or do you, that this is not acceptable? This is, how do you kind of keep that tone in a group of people with a lot of different opinions?
Well, I think just by saying that and being very straightforward, that you disagree on policies and you discuss them and you try to explain why you disagree with them. But threatening somebody with harm or harm to their family is totally unacceptable.
And is that something like a message that you put out on an email? I mean, have you communicated that, I guess, to
the
local folks?
When you're telling me about people having received death threats, that's the first I've heard about it. So,
it was in the Republic today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I did not read that.
What do you think if this passes, what do you think the reaction will be with the party within the state? Will this cause a huge division within the party?
Oh, I don't think so. I think what we will do is just, figure out how to deal with it. And it will be, I have seen nothing that they have put forward that would indicate that this is going to work. But it will be, I know that Governor Brewer is very concerned about the fact that the federal government will not continue to support this program after the first couple of years. And that concerns me, too, is why do you bring people into a program and then you have this trigger in it that you're going to throw them back off in a couple of years later if you don't get money from the federal government.
I wanted to let our listeners know that we have to go to a break now. We will be back in just a few minutes. And before we get to that, I wanted to remind you that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival on Memorial Day weekend. That's this weekend in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And it's just beautiful out there and a little cooler, I think. There are plenty of great places to stay, including the Casitas de Gila Guest Houses and the Continental Divide RV Park. We will be back in just a few moments.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polifchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer, too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
To me all the time. Yeah. People don't like my editorials. They feel that.
I mean, even with Ethan, I don't yell at him. This is another way to think of it.
Hi, welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. This is Sarah Garrett Casson filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation. We were just talking in the studio about.
But you got to hear a yes, little bit of it.
Yes. See, it's reality radio. It's not reality TV. We don't have cameras or anything, but we do have reality radio. Little peek behind the scenes at the exciting studios of the Buckmaster Show. As you know, we were just talking about the need some people feel, I guess, to call and share their points of view with people in the media or politicians, things like that. And a lot of, sometimes it can get, frankly, as Mark and I both know, and I'm sure Carolyn, you know too, can get really kind of not nice, I think would be a very kind way of putting it. And I wanted to circle back to the story that was in today's papers that the some of the lawmakers, the senators who voted, Republicans who voted in support of the Medicaid expansion have received, they're saying, some threatening phone calls and emails. And I wanted to just sort of give an idea of one of the emails that it's been reported that one of them received. It begins, and I'm reading from the Arizona Republic. It begins, quote, "Please kill SB 1492, the Medicaid Expansion Act, and then quotes the Second Amendment's right to bear arms and offers a defense for shooting someone. And then it goes on, and I'm quoting here, "If you are ever asked why you shot the person, the only answer from your lips should be, I felt my life or and my family's life was in immediate danger of death. So I did what I had to do in order to eliminate this threat." And I'm continuing to quote, "Keep repeating the same sentence every time the defense attorney or anyone representing the armed aggressor asks you. They will try to rephrase or use other terms or words to confuse you. But if you just stay with the answer I just gave you, you'll be found justified," the email stated. I find that fairly direct, I think.
Right. We had a caller who had asked whether there actually had been death threats and questioned that. So that's why we're just clarifying it. But based on that story and I forget, I think that was Michelle Regan that had that. Sent to her? I forget which senator it was.
Brophy McGee, I believe.
Oh, well, she's in the House, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, House.
Yeah.
So just to wanted to clarify that. And I also wanted to circle back, Carolyn, to just – we were talking about the health care, Medicaid expansion and the idea of the market. And one thing that I was wondering, since you're very much a pro-market person, pre-existing conditions, is that something that – what do you think about the Health Care Reform Act's position that, you know, insurers can't refuse someone based on a pre-existing medical condition. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, certainly it's a problem for insurance companies, but I think that we could form some kind of a pool that would deal with pre-existing conditions as far as pricing insurance in situations like that. But, you know, the real solution to all of these things is kind of a personal responsibility type thing, that when you're healthy, you buy a catastrophic policy and have a health savings account. But I sort of feel like that if you've had insurance, you know, all of your life and you develop a condition, that you shouldn't be dropped, that they shouldn't be able to drop you. But part of the problem right now is that because your insurance is associated with where you work and you don't actually own the policy yourself, and so sometimes you can lose your policy, you know, that you didn't even plan to because you lose your job.
Right.
Yeah. And so there are a lot of problems with insurance, and it was not a good solution to tie insurance to where you work.
Okay.
So let's change the subject a little bit. We've got a city council election coming up in sooner than we think, but
yes.
It's not till November, right? The primaries don't look like they're going to be all that exciting since everybody's running unopposed. Ben Buehler-Garcia is going to take another shot at Karen, so to speak, at Karen Ulick.
Yeah.
Mike Pollack.
Please watch your language.
Right. Pollack is running against Richard Fimbres.
Yes.
And so far nobody has decided to run against the erstwhile Republican, newly found Democrat, Steve Kozacek. What do you think it's going to take for the Republican Party to finally break through in the city of Tucson, where there's an overwhelming Democratic registration advantage?
You know, I just think people have got to wake up and start looking at the circumstances in Tucson. The paper this morning in the Arizona Daily Star was talking about the fact that Tucson is probably the lowest of all the cities in Arizona as far as people moving into it, the jobs that are available, that kind of thing. And something is wrong in the Democrat-controlled city council that cannot seem to make changes to become more business-friendly. I think we have to look at things like going after the F-35 program. I think that would be a good thing to have for the jobs. I think we have to be sure that we keep Raytheon, that we don't do things that drive them away like we did for IBM. I just think that we have to be friendlier in when people are trying to do renovation to their space or move in for a new company, that we have to work with them and not against them.
I wanted to go to our Buckmaster Show live line. We have former Senator Frank Antonori on the line. Hi, Frank. I haven't spoken to you in a while, and I should let you know that we are about 2 minutes from break, so we have to keep it short.
I caught the tail end of this conversation about the quote-unquote threats, and I'm wondering where you guys were after SB 1070. I received no less than 30 threats of physical violence against me, including two threatening to assassinate me, and I know Russell Pierce received a lot more, and you're talking about threats that are basically subtle in their implications, rather, or even threats of their political future, which I think are legit. If someone calls a legislator and says, I'm going to do everything to take you out next election cycle, that's legit. And I don't see that as a threat. If I had a penny for every email I got from someone threatening to take me out next election cycle, I'd be a rich man. And I think you guys are exaggerating.
Frank, I'm sorry to have to cut you off. We have to go to break. I really appreciate you calling in. It's always lovely to talk to you. Mark, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, he's right. If it was wrong, it was wrong now, it was wrong then. I agree with him. He shouldn't have gotten those threats.
And we are heading to break. Stay tuned. We will be back with our reporters' roundtable. Thank you very much to Carolyn Cox from the Pima County GOP for being with us. And we will be back in just a few minutes.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A Pakistani official says two passengers on a flight from Pakistan to England today allegedly threatened to destroy the plane after an argument with the crew. The British military scrambled fighter jets to intercept the airliner, which was carrying more than 300 people. The plane was diverted to an isolated runway outside London. The two British passengers who allegedly made the threat were arrested. Authorities in Afghanistan say two guards were killed when a Taliban suicide car bomber and five heavily armed gunmen attacked a guest house of an international aid group in the Afghan capital of Kabul today. The Illinois House has approved a plan to allow qualified gun owners to carry their weapons in public. Illinois is the only state in the nation without a concealed carry law. And government health officials are investigating several health problems reported with potentially contaminated medications. This is SRN News.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation. We're here with Mark B. Evans of TucsonCitizen.com, and we're joined for our Reporters Roundtable by Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saurita Sun. So, as Bill says, we have had a busy week of news. So let's turn to Dan, since we have you here and you're the expert on all things Green Valley. could you update us on the Green Valley Hospital?
Right, the medical center, where is it going? And for the last 25 years or so, we've had five or six false starts trying to get a hospital down in Green Valley. I hope that this is not another one, but it certainly is not as far along by now as people thought it would be. We're meeting with the developer probably next week to kind of get a handle on this. Basically, what it amounts to is that a building will be going up, but they don't have an operator for it yet. And it's kind of where we were before, but there is a committee, and I've talked to at least one member of it, and they are heading out of state looking for somebody. I think they've exhausted in-state, although I'm not positive about that. And we'll get an update here on what's going on there. But people are starting to wonder, okay, why is there no action down where on the site? Why aren't they digging? Why aren't they putting walls up yet? So we'll see what happens. We just hope that this is not another false start for a hospital in Green Valley.
They've been trying to get a hospital down there for forever. What do you think has been the hang up? Because there's clearly the market for it. I mean, not just the
right.
People in Green Valley who are of a certain age that they might need more medical services, but that whole southern Arizona. I mean, if you live in Nogales, mm-hmm. you got to come all the way to Tucson. Even if you live in Sierra Vista, it would be faster to go to Green Valley.
Well, I think it's profits, and I think it also the fact that we are so close to Tucson is a lot of people say, you know, I don't want to make the drive, but I will for better service. And I'm not saying that the hospital down there wouldn't offer good service, but I think that it wouldn't be nearly as expansive as what we already have in Tucson, which is wonderful services. So I think it comes down to dollars.
Mark, you wanted to weigh in on, we've had talk about city employee raises. There's always sort of I don't know if contentious is the right word, but it's something that people definitely care about. People care about their paychecks, that's for sure. And since we're taxpayers, we're all involved.
Right. I mean, you got to love the city of Tucson. I mean, they go through this financial crisis. They're starting to crawl their way out of it. Through that, the employees had to sacrifice considerably. Not only did the city drop nearly 1,100 positions through attrition and actual layoffs, and which required everybody else to perform more duties because you didn't have a reduction in the population of the city that was demanding services. But so not only did they have to do extra work, but they didn't get raises for years and years and years. So now the city has a little bit extra more money. They say, okay, well, we want to put up some raises. So they come up with some raises, 55 cents for everybody across the board. They think it's only going to be $5 million. Well, wait, it turns out to be $8 million because we forgot to remind you that it also included the water department and the other enterprise funds. And then the public safety people said, well, you know, we haven't had raises either, but we've also been losing really good people to other jurisdictions because they're paying more than we are. So the council said, okay, well, let's fix that problem. We'll give the 911 dispatchers a dollar raise. We'll give some firefighters and police officers step increases that will be considerably more than the 55 cents, or at least more than the 55 cents an hour. So lo and behold, they go to pass the budget, and all the employees who didn't get the extra bump in pay showed up to complain about it not being fair. And you know what? You got to – I think when you start playing this employee is more valuable than that employee, or we have to do these market adjustments that we have to give these people more money to keep them from leaving, you create resentments within the city staff. And what was turning out to be a good thing, which is thank you, city staff, for the sacrifices you've made during the downturn, has turned it into something that, you know, not everybody's very happy with. And, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. And sometimes they, even when they're trying to do something good, they still turn it into something screwy. But, I mean, I feel for the guys working in the streets who, you know, standing out in the street, getting cars driving by them 75 miles an hour, that might not be quite as dangerous as getting shot on your job at the policeman or going into a fire, but it's still pretty dangerous. And there's still a lot of people who get injured or killed who don't work in the fire department or the police department.
Right. Dan, what's going on in terms of municipal going? Are Sabarita talking about raises? Is there anything new going on there?
You know, Sabarita has always has weathered the downturn in the economy because they're very conservative, and they're doing, you know, cost of living raises. The Green Valley Fire District, which covers part of Sabarita and all of Green Valley, is looking at their budget for next year, and it's going up a little bit. But they're giving raises, I believe, actually last year for the first time in several years. And so people are kind of sort of coming out of this. Right now, Sabarita is still playing it really conservative, as they always have. So there's not a lot of talk of, you know, a lot of money going up there. But we'll see. We have a new town manager down there, Kelly Udall, and we'll see how what his philosophy is going forward. But my guess is that it's in line with the council, which, again, is very conservative in how they handle their fiscal matters.
And the county just passed its budget, and I think there's some money in there for some raises, if I'm not mistaken. But there was an increase in taxes, but the county is arguing that tax increase is being offset by reductions in home values and other savings in other places within the district. So it's kind of a wash in terms of your tax bill,
right,
even though your actual rate will have gone up for your primary property tax rate for the Pima County.
What do you think of the idea that I think Chuck Huckleberry, the county administrator, was talking about using gas tax revenue for transportation projects, road repair, that sort of thing?
Well, gas tax is what it should be used for. The people who are using the roads need to be paying for the roads. The problem is with the gas taxes, it hasn't been raised in more than 20 years. So, and with inflation, you're now the dollar that you're getting is a third less in value than it was in 1992. So you've got all kinds of problems with the with the amount of infrastructure that you can purchase with the amount of gas tax. Plus, the miles per gallon has improved in mm-hmm. vehicles, and so people aren't buying as much gas per capita as they were in the past, so it's not bringing that much in. But I think the legislature does need to raise the gas tax in the short term, and in the long term probably needs to switch the gas tax to an excise tax so that the amount of tax you pay is based on the amount of dollars that you put into your car rather than the amount of gallons.
And we have seen a couple of states, actually several states, that have done that recently.
Virginia just did that.
Right. And I believe that this is probably not a bad idea. And I think as it gets some traction here, more people will be behind it. But it sounds like a great way to get us out of a really bad problem.
Well, you look at the I-19 interchange that has been delayed and delayed and delayed forever. And then they advanced it. And then, oh, wait, you know, we don't have enough money now, and now it might be get pushed back again. And so we still don't have the I-19 interchange fixed, and it looks like it's going to take even longer than we thought.
I wanted to kind of go back to something when I was, I don't want to say filling in for Bill, since no one can actually fill in for Bill. But speaking with, on Wednesday's show, I was speaking with Dr. Nick Clement, who's the retiring superintendent over in the Flowing Wells Unified School District, and he came to mind, Dan, because of your description of Sabarita's approach, conservative budgeting approach to town finances. And one of the things that we were talking about Wednesday, and you can go back if you'd like to, listeners, to buckmastershow.com or tucsoncitizen.com or tucsonsentinel.com and find the podcast for Wednesday's show. He was in the first half hour. But one of the things he said was that in his experience as a superintendent, he thinks one of the best things that we as a state could do would be to raise the initial incoming teacher salary from what it is now in most districts. It's around $30,000 to $40,000, which is a significant jump. And I know you both have covered education for a long
That's
time.
That's a great idea. Where's the money come from?
No, I know. It is a great idea. But I'm just wondering, as people who've, you know, paid attention to education, reality kind of enters into the picture. Do you think there's some what are your thoughts on that, Dan?
You know, very timely question. My daughter was just hired this week. She will be a just graduated from college. She'll be a first grade teacher in the fall in the Sarita Unified School District.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're very excited for her, and she's going to be a terrific teacher. Now, not talking about her, talking about other teachers, I see in education what's happening in journalism, and that is that there are people who get in it because they're passionate about it, but then they hit that wall called reality, and a lot of it is the dollars. And so you're losing a lot of good people. Now, everybody she came across during her student teaching and everybody I've come across in my time in Sabarita and then up in Phoenix, the teachers are like police officers. They're very passionate and about their job and they love what they do, but there are certain realities. The idea of increasing their pay, 30 to 40, that is a huge jump. That mm-hmm. That's might be a little much for people. And I agree with Mark. Where do you find the money? But I do also agree that this is not an 8-hour day job, and this is not a 9 or 10 month out of the year job. I can tell you that already.
And I absolutely agree that teachers need to be paid more money. And as long as that you don't just increase the beginning base pay mm-hmm. and then not increase so that you know when you're 20 years from now you're only making 49.
Right.
You know you have to push all the other salaries up as you go up in your experience and your ability. So that would be extremely expensive. The problem is the state is the one that provides the money to the schools. Even though each individual school district you pay a property tax to your school district, you're not actually having any kind of control how that tax is being used. It gets sent to the state and then redistributed back on a per capita basis.
Right.
So
right.
So that the decision would have to come from the legislature that it was going to increase the amount of money that it was going to give back to schools and then require schools to raise taxes accordingly in order to meet that. And I just don't think that would happen from district to district to district, nor do I think that the legislature as it's currently composed would ever agree to that.
And when I moved to Sabarita 4 years ago, we were 9% of the school districts in the state were growing, and we were among those. And so the others were either stagnant or losing people. We had to figure out a way to build the last two schools that we've built. We need another one also. And so that the legislature has, to be blunt, really screwed us over.
And the state controls that too through the State Facilities
Board,
which has not paid for a new school in more than 2 years.
Right. And so we have passed our own bond and said, you know, we're just going to do it ourselves. We cannot rely on the state.
This is related in the sense that it's about education, but Dan on the line is calling with wanting to talk about Grand Canyon University on the El Rio Golf Course. Could we speak to Dan?
Thank you very much. Very interesting conversation. I think I have several business partnerships in the city and one on the west side, and I'm very excited about the idea of getting a first class university there. Boy, that would really improve that area and would provide not only millions of dollars for the city, but thousands of jobs, at least hundreds of jobs, perhaps thousands for the people in Tucson, and really be an upgrade for the downtown area. And I really hope that goes through. I don't know who is opposing it, because we've been complaining about that golf course losing money for many, many years, and nothing's ever done about it.
Mark.
The people who live on the west side have been wanting a park for a long time. They also felt betrayed by the city back in the 1970s. There was a huge dispute over putting a golf course there in El Rio back in the 1970s. There were marches, candlelight vigils. It was quite divisive. So they got the golf course. They've still wanted the park. And so now that the city wants to get out of the golf business, and it's looking to do something with that piece of property, and they've gone and talked to this college. They didn't go and talk to the community first, and they're getting a lot of blowback, a lot of very strong blowback. The council now is rather divided and kind of squishy on it. If Grand Canyon University is going to come to Tucson, I would say right now it's 50-50 whether it goes at El Rio. It'll probably go someplace else, and the council will have to find some other use for that golf course. If they make it a park, great, but that doesn't bring any revenue to the city. I would rather see them use at least half or more of that piece of property to generate some revenue for the west side. You could always use definitely more retail and more jobs on that side of town.
Great. Dan, thanks for calling in to the Buckmaster Show. Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News.
I think Grand Canyon University would be a tremendous addition to this area. I like the idea that it would maybe raise a little bit of the competition level with U of A. It would complement PCC, which I hope is going to be bouncing back. I'm a huge proponent of the community college system, and PCC has done a good job as far as educating a lot of our students and really bucking up during the downturn in the economy when they offered different certifications and different programs for people who just needed to get retrained. And so Grand Canyon would be a tremendous addition to this area. I would agree with the caller.
Well, thank you very much, Mark B. Evans of the TucsonCitizen.com and Dan Shearer of Green Valley News and Saurita Sun for joining me today on the Reporters Roundtable for the Buckmaster Show. We will be back shortly with Matt Russell and Weekend Watch.
Good luck.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark.
I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Hi, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page, filling in for Bill Buckmaster. And we are turning now to the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. How's it going, Matt?
It's going great. Happy Memorial Day weekend to you, Sarah. Well, I like you in the seat on Bill's behalf. Always enjoy listening to you.
Well, thank you very much. And you, it looks like, have quite a weekend lined up. Could you tell us about what we should be doing this weekend?
Absolutely. Now, Sarah, a great way to kick off the holiday weekend is at 7 o'clock tonight at Sullivan Steakhouse, where they're going to be hosting a Gatsby Gala in conjunction with the release of the Great Gatsby movie. Now, you're going to be transported back to the Roaring Twenties with dancing and live music and a period costume contest, deep discounts on classic cocktails. Now, when I go to Sullivan's, it's all about the steak, Sarah, and I suggest the 20-ounce porterhouse. F. Scott Fitzgerald would not have had it any other way. Check out the Gatsby Gala at Sullivan's tonight.
So you're a steak guy. I'm more of a side dish person. Tell me about the side dishes at Sullivan's.
You know, they always have great side dishes. The classic spinach, you know, both the steamed spinach, the creamed spinach, wonderful hollandaise, asparagus. They got some great horseradish, mashed potatoes. There's something for every palate at Sullivan's.
Excellent. And you're going on a road trip, or at least you are, through your plate, through Kingfishers.
Absolutely. You know, it's not summer in Tucson without Kingfishers, a summer road trip. And Chef Murph and his team have been busy putting together a culinary journey that is going to take us to every corner of the country this summer. Now, starting this weekend, a special menu is going to feature selections from down south. So we're talking Creole and gumbo and crawfish and the like. And the Southern-inspired menu is going to continue through June the 5th. And then the road trip is going to be heading to California and Hawaiian cuisine. Now, every few weeks leading up to Labor Day, the trip is going to take us to a different region, like the Pacific Northwest and the Great Plains and so on. So you better plan your trip accordingly by visiting KingfisherTucson.com.
What are some of the favorite meals you've had at Kingfisher on road trip?
You know, I'm a big oyster guy, Sarah, so I think Kingfisher and its sister restaurant, Bluefin, are one of the great destinations for oysters. They've got a wonderful raw bar, but you know, they do seafood, I think, better than most places in town do.
So if you're not one of the Arizonans who's in San Diego, along with every other Tucsonan, this summer, you can at least get a pretender on the road with the Kingfisher summer road trip. And your Arizona Restaurant Week, your pick this week, what is it?
Yeah, well, Arizona Restaurant Week wraps up this weekend, so I would encourage all of our listeners to get out and celebrate with some great specials. My pick, Sarah, is Union Public House, a delightful gastropub, and they're going to be featuring a three-course meal with a range of choices for only $30. The chorizo and green apple stuffed pork chop caught my eye, but there's so much to choose from. So why don't you give Union Public House a try this weekend for Arizona Restaurant Week?
So for those of us who may not be as familiar with the finer points of the restaurant scene as you are, what is a gastropub?
Sure. A gastropub is pub food, you know, for foodies. It's a place that specializes in great craft beers and artisan cocktails and a wonderful and intentional cocktail and beverage program, but it's also a place that really holds high their culinary program. So we're not talking about mozzarella sticks and a red wicker basket. This is real food for real foodies against the backdrop of a wonderful, comfortable pub.
Are you impugning the integrity of the fried mozzarella stick?
Every appetizer has its time and a place, Sarah. You got me on that one. But, yeah, this is a wonderful culinary experience at all the great gastropubs across Southern Arizona.
Excellent. Well, you've given us an awful lot to do this busy three-day weekend. It's great to talk to you, Matt. Thanks very much.
You as well, Sarah. Cheers.
Wanted to thank Matt Russell for his excellent contribution of recommendations this weekend. Also wanted to point out that the bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. It's been great being with you this hour. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star's editorial page, filling in for Bill Buckmaster, who will be back next week. Thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.